and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're listening to me, Pete, and alongside me I have Eddie.
Hello.
And Ben.
Hello.
There we go. Slightly surprised because I switched the order on you, aren't you?
I always am when you do that.
Yeah, it's just got to be done now and again to keep you on your toes, you know. Got to be on your toes. So, as usual, we'll be taking you through a bit of the news. Some of the new releases. I say some, it's probably all of them, knowing Ben. A bit of what we've been playing, and our feature this week is on the Dead Space event.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one. I know, well, everyone here is a fan of Dead Space, so I think that's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about it quite a few times on this on this show, haven't we? So, yeah, absolutely.
And they just keep giving us reason to. But, yeah, shall we dive into the news?
Yes, crack on.
Ooh, yeah.
Perfect. Ben, do you want to lead us off?
Well, this week there was this massive Horizon Forbidden West controversy. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I'll kind of run through chronologically how this came about. So, Sony originally came out last week and revealed the different versions of the Horizon game that were going up for pre-order. So you had the standard like PS4, PS5 versions, which are $60 and $70 or regional equivalent. You also had like a collector's edition, which was something like 180 quid. It's absolutely huge. It didn't even have a physical version. So you only got a digital version of the download code, whatever. Okay. But the interesting part came about that there was a digital deluxe version for £80. Now, this was a dual version which allowed you to play the PS4 and the PS5 version of the game, because the key point was there was no upgrade between the PS4 version to the PS5 version that we've seen in other games. So, like, you know, like Ghost of Tsushima, that whole controversy about like that upgrade costing $10 or how it would work. Or not. There was no what they were saying was that there was no way of upgrading from your PS4 version to your PS5. So if you bought a PS4 version of this game in February next year, and then you came into a PS5 in March, they're saying you had to continue playing the PS4 version.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that your PS4 version would have worked on the PS5, but you haven't got the graphical upgrade. You haven't, you know, all the frame rate stuff and resolution, all that kind of stuff, which people got understandably a bit pissed about. Now, at the time when people were getting pissed, I thought, right, well, maybe this is for a reason. Maybe this is because it's actually a different. Maybe it's harder to do the upgrade than you initially think. I don't know anything about game development, but I don't think it's. But I couldn't imagine it just being like turning down the sliders like on a PC. Yeah. I imagine it would have to. It was something a bit more robust. So I was thinking, well, maybe it wasn't so easy. So they were basically saying if you bought the PS4 version, that would only work on the PS4, and you couldn't upgrade to the PS5. If you wanted the PS5 version, you had to buy that separately. Alternatively, you could buy this dual version for £80. So you buy the base PS4 version for 60, you buy the base PS5 version for 70, or you buy this dual version for 80. And people are like, what the fuck? So then people were kicking off massively. Then on Saturday night, Sony turned around totally and said, yeah, we were wrong. Because they had previously promised a year ago, because of Corona, they said because this game was delayed because of Corona, they said that it was going to be free. This upgrade was going to be free. But then, so they said, no, sorry, we were wrong. We did this all wrong. It shouldn't have cost, because effectively they're putting in at $20 minimum to buy the dual version, or you'd have to buy a completely separate fucking game. So they said, no, don't worry. Actually, now the PS4 version of the game can be upgraded to the PS5 version of the game for free.
Yeah.
So this gets more complicated because, okay, well, you may be saying, all right, fair enough. But the PS5 version is £70. Like I said, the PS4 version is £60. So there's no reason to buy the PS5 version.
Yeah.
Because if you buy the PS4 version, you get upgraded. So you're the reason you're buying the PS5 version is for the box. So the box being white at the top rather than blue is costing you an extra £10.
It is.
Yeah. Now, who's going to do that? I mean, me, obviously.
Well,
I'm going to do
it. Nice. Yeah, yeah. Especially having haven't bought all three. I mean,
you've already bought both and the £80
one. We know and the £80 one, why not?
But also, they haven't stipulated, because then my thought was like, okay, well, could this be for pre-ordered versions only, or maybe you get a specific upgrade code that comes with your pre-order? No, by the way that they're saying it, it's just the PS4 version can be upgraded to the PS5 version. The second thing, the second point now, is that if you buy the PS4 version, your copy of the game is more valuable than the PS5 version.
Yes.
Because your PS4 version can be played on both consoles, whereas your PS5 version can only be played on the PS5. So it's like this. So actually, this is a bit of a clusterfuck.
Now, it's a massive clusterfuck, let's be honest.
It's obviously all down to the pandemic, because they couldn't get PS5s in people's hands, and they never considered that this would be an issue. Now, Microsoft has the smart delivery. Now, for those who don't have an Xbox, if you buy one, game, you buy the Xbox game, and the console detects which version of the game you need, and it just gives you that version.
Yeah.
So that's Xbox's way, and it's called smart delivery. And when Xbox kind of touted this as a massive thing with their console, they went, yeah, we've got smart delivery, and everyone went, yeah, okay, great, that makes sense, lovely. Now Sony are the biggest advert that Microsoft could ever have had, yes, for their smart delivery, because Sony are showing why smart delivery is actually really good. Now Sony, we all remember, and Pete, you like to bring this up a lot, that they believe in generations, don't they?
They do, yes. They are the one behind.
Or at least they did. And now that they don't believe in generations, they never ever considered this would be an issue.
Oh, it's mad, isn't it?
So
honestly,
but I honestly think they could have avoided this whole issue if they just said the PS4 version is also £70.
Yeah,
I know people.
I mean,
if they'd just gone, this development cost a fuck ton to make. This game cost a fuck ton to make. So sorry, it's £70.
Yeah.
Then people would have gone, oh, that shit. But they would just accept it.
Yeah.
But this, this just stinks of the pre-orders went live. The pre-orders were shit. Sony went, right, we've got to do something.
Yeah. Fucked up. Yep.
And it's
not.
And because the consumers kicking off, people were going, right, this shows consumer power. This shows consumer power and that consumers can get things changed. Oh, and it shows that Sony will do the right thing for consumers and all this stuff. No, it doesn't. It shows neither of those two things, actually, in my mind. All it shows is that Sony saw their pre-orders were not doing that well. How can we combat that? We'll do this.
Yeah.
It's not consumer power. It's not people kicking off, because if people kick off, the numbers were going well, nothing would happen, would it?
True.
So Sony fucked up, and they don't deserve a pat on the back.
Not at all. And I mean, I think again, it is, you're right that it's an advert for smart delivery, but again, it's just showing that PlayStation's pricing model is fucking dumb.
It wouldn't be dumb if the Xbox weren't doing it completely differently through a Game Pass model.
Yeah,
but the one interesting point was that I think they've indicated that every other Sony published game that's going to come out, that will have this $10 upgrade. So that I think they're just setting the stall now that it'll be $60 for a PS4 game, it'll be $70 for a PS5 game, and if you buy the PS4 one, you can upgrade it with $10 to the PS5 game. So
yeah.
I think they've just had enough, because they're just like, well, what the fuck are we doing here? But I just find it so weird that companies can, they set out their budgets for the year, their financial budgets and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, this is my bag. So I appreciate that I'm the one that thinks of this stuff. But I don't understand. They just do a budget of what's going on, what they expect, and then suddenly they'll just flip it and they'll go, oh no, we won't price it like that anymore. Like overnight. You know, you'd have your budget people just going, what the fuck? Like, I don't know the answer. What do you want from me? You've just flipped it on its head. So, that was the big one of the week. I don't know if you've got any other thoughts on that one. It's just a fucking crazy scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. That's all I can say to that, really.
Yeah, but Horizon comes out in February. For those that have forgotten, it comes out, yeah, I think it's 22nd of February, something like that.
Pre-order it now.
Pre-orders are available right now.
Price to be decided.
Whatever you pay on the day.
If you get that collector's edition, it doesn't matter because you just get digital edition.
Can you also, by the way, can you imagine the refund situation were that ever to exist? So how much did you pay for this?
Nope.
I paid £180.
This is something I did, actually. This so yesterday we checked on the PlayStation Store. You can still buy a PS4 version and a PS5 version on the official PlayStation Store, the digital versions.
Fantastic.
So they have two games on there on the digital store right now, which are £10 apart, and they are the same game. There is no difference between one digital download and the other. And they're £10 apart.
Yeah.
Like, that is just... They haven't even corrected that on the store. Like, I can understand someone like me, only because it's me, I can understand, paying an extra £10 for that PS5 box. I can understand that. However, what I can't understand is ordering the PS5 digital version when the PS4 digital version is the exact same thing.
Yeah. God.
Anyway, that's the last one. But following on for that, just the Sony are going to do a massive showcase this week.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so it's announced for the 9th of September on this very Thursday. Sony are not doing a state of play. They're doing a showcase event. Mm-hmm. So, cool. Yeah, this I think this is going to be absolutely huge. I think this is their E3. This is their moment. It's going to be 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
So I thought we could just have a brief chat on what we expect could be in that one. Because
how many games are it? 27? Is it 27 they said they were working on?
They did say something massive, didn't they? So yeah. So we think there's going to be some new IPs as well.
Yeah.
Because 15 of those new IPs, weren't they? Something like that. We've got that Kena or Kena game coming out in a few weeks, so that's going to get showing, isn't it?
You would think so, yeah.
I think that's probably the only guarantee, but I think the other things are a bit more up in the air. But God of War Ragnarok is the other big heavy hitter that people were expecting, because rumoured to be coming out next Christmas. I mean, you'd think that they'd have to show that game, because they're on the rocks at the moment, aren't they?
We always think they are, but they're probably but than we think they are.
Yeah, and to be fair, 18 months out, which is roughly what we are, is normally cinematic trailer time, isn't it? So,
yes.
Oh, I can't wait for those fucking CGI trailers.
Oh, you're going to love it.
No gameplay whatsoever. Yeah, I can't.
I assume
we're doing a fucking feature about this next week. Yeah, brilliant. Just to get my blood pressure up.
Exactly, yeah.
What do we reckon Naughty Dog are going to bring to the table? Because they're going to be showing something, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
What do you reckon?
I honestly think remake.
Yeah? The Last of Us 1 remake.
I also suspect something to do with that tied to the TV show.
Yeah.
That seems like a good opportunity in my eyes, you know? So yeah. I think we could see something like that.
Don't you think news on this remake has kind of died down? Because it was only... Was it ever officially announced, or was it just a heavy, heavy rumour that they were doing this Last of Us 1 remake?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I feel like it was officially announced, but...
Yeah.
I couldn't guarantee that for anyone.
I think that's a great shout. I think we mentioned it when we talked about the TV show, didn't we?
We did.
So that would make... I think that one could be a sleeper, because not a lot of people were talking about that remake. But they are talking about Last of Us 2 an awful lot.
True, yeah.
Even talking about Director's Cut. Like, what is up with this now and Director's Cuts and games? You're like, Ghost of Tsushima, you're getting Death Stranding. Why are Sony just making Director's Cuts of every game? And also, Last of Us 2 looks fucking incredible. It's had a graphical upgrade. Why does it need a Director's Cut?
So they can milk more money out of people like you, Ben.
I have no interest in a director's cut version of Last of Us 2. I thought it was an insane game, but...
Yeah, it's literally just the complete edition for people who feel like they need to have the optimum version of everything.
But do you remember Kojima a couple of weeks ago saying you didn't like the term director's cut because it's just, it implies that the original game isn't complete?
Yeah.
Which is just stupid. But and what about that rumoured Last of Us 2 multiplayer?
The thing is, it's very difficult. I think we're going to see quite a major chunk of Last of Us. But I don't know which aspect it's going to be or whether it might be all of them.
I found an article back in May that from Bloomberg that said there are a small 30-man team working on a Last of Us remake. So we could see something there. There you go.
I think that would be pretty good chat. We're going to see something for Naughty Dog. And what if they brought out one, two, or three, all three of those, that would be fucking insane. I actually am looking forward to The Last of Us 2 multiplayer.
Really? I think me and Pete said this. It's a masterpiece for its single-player game. I don't like when things happen like this. I don't like
it. The funny bit for me as well, by the way, is I probably will never play Last of Us. I appreciate it for what it is, the series, but I just don't have any interest in it.
I'm just not going to buy a PlayStation for it. That's the fucking problem.
for me, it's just anything zombie has played out for me. I'm done with them, even if they're only a feature, as it were. So it's just not really my thing.
That's fair enough. I think they could have an interesting take on a multiplayer game with the zombies as well as a PvP, so PvP and PvE.
But that is an interesting concept.
A horde mode? Is that what we're thinking?
I'm actually thinking a potential kind of survival mode, like almost a battle royale, but with zombies in the world, overworld as well.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
You could even do teams with zombies as the third factor.
Yes,
as well. So there are some decent options there, but PvE plus PvE combined is a good concept. It'll just be interesting to see. I think they're going to. We've mentioned like four different options there, and they might surprise us anyway.
Yeah, because they are that studio. So let's see what they've got. There's also people are saying about a new Uncharted game potentially. And I recently, and I haven't talked about it properly on this, I recently played Uncharted 4. Fucking hell. Like,
what's that?
I don't know.
Is that good fucking hell or is that a bad fucking
It's
hell?
A bad, like, for me, it's just a shit Last of Us / Tomb Raider. It's just a culmination of that. I prefer Tomb Raider to Uncharted in terms of just like the backstory, the character, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And The Last of Us is just, I know it's a newer game, but it's just Last of Us 2, mind. It's just so much better. And Uncharted, you just feel like, you're just bored of it. Like it's just, and also Nathan Drake is a mass murderer.
All main characters are, but
in this game, like you're just like, so he's gone to look for some treasure. He's made that active choice, and he's just murdering willy nilly. Yeah, they're coming after him as well, like competing to get this treasure thing. But just fucking, just killing people, just left, right, and center, like with no remorse. And I know you do that in kind of like Tomb Raider games and stuff, but at least they're trying to kill you. Like this game is like you're actively going after a piece of treasure. You're trying to steal something. Like I don't know.
I mean, there doesn't sound like a major difference between those, but it's.
I know it's not. It's more of a difference in my head, but you kill like hundreds and hundreds of people, and like, he just doesn't blink.
Yeah, he's the John Wick of explorers. That's just the way it is.
Anyway, other things rumored for this event, so we get through it. Infamous 3 is another one that people are touting. Potentially next Spider-Man game, maybe getting a showing. And the big thing is finally maybe Silent Hill getting an announcement. So supposedly there's two games being developed at the moment, one Konami one and one where the rights have been given to Blooper Team, who did The Medium. And again, supposedly a full trailer is ready for one of these games and ready to be wheeled out when they want it to be. So that's heavy. And that, you know, people, every state of play, people saying this is a showcase. So this is their E3 event type thing, as far as I can glean. So this is the time. And I do think since Gamescom, they let that have the Horizon release date. There's also, I think, a Death Stranding presentation the day before this, so they're not going to show any more Death Stranding. Okay. So a lot of these games are like being pushed aside, like that big news stuff. So this is clearing the way for some pretty big games to be talked about.
See, this is, you'd think it has to be that. And I think that maybe suggests that they're expecting to be able to get more PS5, though, don't you? That's a good point. Why would you go big unless you think you're going to have the hardware out there soon?
That's a really good point. Because they haven't gone big because they probably knew that they can only sell what they're at capacity now, aren't they?
Yeah. This is the thing. I mean, either we're looking at a massive show or we're looking at something that's going to underwhelm. And I think that's entirely down to whether the hardware is going to be able to get out there or not.
Yeah, that's
And I'll be really interested to see it because of that.
Yeah, hadn't thought about it like that. If they don't believe that PlayStations will really be out there until next summer, what's the point in doing all the announcements now? Because your Christmas won't get any bigger.
Yeah, and the thing is, if it's just, if they're not expecting anything until mid next year, like in terms of shipping hardware, you're just trying to stay relevant. You're not trying to drop your big things. So if they're dropping big things, it's because they think they're going to be able to capitalize on.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that one. So, yeah, I suppose what we'll get then from this event possibly is an implication of where they think they're going to be hardware-wise.
Exactly. Which could be the biggest news of all.
Yeah, it's definitely an inference that we can make, isn't it? So, yeah. Good stuff. My final bit of news, because I know dominating this first section of the news here. Yeah.
Have a news story. Just so you know.
But there was quite a few like smaller but definitely newsworthy items this week. Yeah. So the last one is just that Game Boy and Game Boy Color games they haven't been confirmed by Nintendo, but they're heavily rumored and leaked to be coming to the Nintendo Switch Online service very soon. So Eurogamer corroborated it. I think IGN might have as well, but it was originally through Nate the Hate podcast. Mm-hmm. So Nate Drake, the kind of infamous Nintendo leaker, he mentioned that Game Boy games, Game Boy Color games were coming. He also said on the Spawncast, which is another games podcast this week, that his podcast that's coming out this week, which, you know, right now, these couple of days, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, whatever, his Nate the Hate podcast that he does with Modern Vintage Gamer, that's going to have more leaks about different, it's expected to be about different Nintendo consoles, which will also be coming to the service sometime soon. So it's not just the Game Boy and not just the Game Boy Color, supposedly.
Ben, so you turned that paragraph into a PlayStation pricing model. Like, it was not that complicated, and you made a tongue twister on yourself there.
Yeah, he's got a podcast called Nate the Hate, so you can go and check it out if you're that interested. But supposedly, there's
and when's that airing,
stuff.
Ben?
Maybe Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday. I don't know. He just said this week.
Right, there we go.
But the key thing is that Nintendo Switch Online service, which is cheap, but it's nonsense. It costs about 18 quid a year. They at the moment, they give you some NES and SNES games, which are pretty shit. And Nintendo Online service doesn't have parties, doesn't have online chat, doesn't have any of this stuff. Like, it's just so bare bones, and they hide behind the pretense, I think, of like keeping it family friendly and protecting the children and all this kind of stuff, but it's just, you can't do anything on it. So they need to start investing some money into this, I think. This would be a good way to do it.
Yeah, so this would be all the classic Pokemon games for one, wouldn't it?
I don't think it would, actually. So they might selectively put some Pokemon games on there, but I can't imagine they'd be putting the old Pokemons on because of the remakes they're doing. Why would you spoil it? So unless there's ones which they're not planning, like maybe a Crystal or something like that, put it on there. What I would expect, though, would be maybe Pokemon Pinball, stuff like that, some more obscure Pokemon games that aren't going to get remade. I would expect that. So,
I mean, even with the remakes, you'd think anyone invested enough in the series to buy the remakes would just want to play the old ones as they were as well.
I could imagine Red, Blue, or Yellow coming, because they've already released Pokemon Let's Go.
Exactly, yeah.
So if they've already released a game like it, then yeah, I can imagine seeing it. But they're not exactly going to put Diamond and Pearl on there. yeah. whatever. That may have been GBA anyway, so or whatever, or 3DS, so it wouldn't be included. But you, maybe Gold and Silver. I still think they might do a Gold and Silver remake or Let's Go game. So I think that's going to happen. So I don't know. But I'm sure there's some good games that people will be happy about. The problem with this type of thing is they put the games on there, you'll play them for 5 minutes, and then you'll be like, yeah, okay, cheers.
Mm.
So anyway, that's rumoured to be happening. We'll let you know when it does.
Fantastic. And just through all of this, Grumpy Gamers are letting you know all the news that will be coming at some point, not today. I like that.
Maybe in the next few days, maybe in the
That play. May be coming.
That may be coming at some other point this week. It could be before or after we release this. Yes.
Never. I don't know.
You have a habit of this as well, Ben. It's one of you. Anyway, moving.
Maybe news.
Hey. In the old days, he used to say a date, and then we always used to have to apologize the next week. So... It's come a long way.
There's some personal growth happening here.
That's a fair point.
Eddie, how fluffy are you this week? What have you brought?
You know what? I'm glad you said that, because I earlier said I have a news story. Obviously, it's fluff. It's not actually a news story. So I immediately got called bluff. Basically, mine's a tweet. So Kojima... Oh, shut up. Hang on. This counts. This counts as a fucking news story, right? Kojima put out a tweet the other day. Which said, I have a number of ideas that I want to create with Mads. Mads being Mads Mikkelsen, the actor, as the main character. I once explained one of them to Mads. He listened intently, but then I told him the title. He broke his face. He seemed to think I was joking. I was serious, though. The tentative title was Mads Max. So Kojima wants to make a game that sounds like, you know, the Mad Max franchise. Is it a franchise? Well, okay, I'm going to call it a franchise.
Yeah, it's
a franchise. With Mads Mikkelsen as the main guy. Now, I read this and I got really excited. I love Mads, absolutely love Mads. And of course, Kojima makes some fucking good games, apart from the Walking Simulator. I'm really excited about this. But I just thought it was cool that he's getting involved with that.
I thought he was quite good in Death Stranding. Like, as a character, I thought he played a good role.
He's good in pretty much everything he's in. I can't think of about. He's just fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to quibble over the point of you calling this news, Eddie, because one, it's a tweet, and two, there's nothing actually confirmed in this at all.
But that's him saying that it's going to happen. I'm putting it down there. Right, coming out next week, next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, is Mad Max.
On this point, I suppose Xbox are having a showing at the start of October. I think they've got an hour long or 40-minute long slot at Tokyo Game Show.
Boom! It's pure Mads Mikkelsen.
The big thing. I think they're making probably one real final push to try and break that Japanese market. Now, one thing that would break that Japanese market is a Kojima exclusive Xbox game, and there are heavy rumors. I think Jeff Grubb may have said that there's a deal close to being signed for Kojima to be making an exclusive Xbox game, and I you know how Kojima, I think Kojima loves to work with these celebrities how Death Stranding was, it was fantastic. I love the celebrity interaction in Death Stranding. It was fantastic. So if he's going to make more games like that, that'd be amazing. And if it's Xbox exclusive, insane. And that would be the time to do it. So I wouldn't be surprised if this tweet or your news story, Eddie, ages quite well in the next month and a half.
Yeah.
There you go. Watch the space.
As a random aside, did either of you bump into him in Cyberpunk when you played? Because he is in there as an Easter egg, isn't he?
He's in the background, like sat down or something, isn't he?
He's in the hotel. You can actually speak to him, and I think he tells you to go away.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Fair. Yeah.
Are you serious? That's awesome. I mean, obviously, I didn't play it. But I think I played it for a week before returning it. But
I was going to say, but he's in the mission, the heist. Like, he's right there in that one.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh, that's relatively early on then.
Exactly. Yeah. So even Eddie got to that point. He's in the hotel in the heist.
Okay.
Yeah, so he does love being involved in stuff. in a very good way.
Well, even Jeff Keighley is in Death Stranding.
Yeah.
As a potential...
Jeff Keighley is just everywhere, though.
Yeah. Like,
He wants to be everywhere. And
I like him. I like him. I like what he does for gaming. I really do. But okay. That's another story. That's another story.
Yes, that's another not quite news story we can do at some point down the line. Ben yes. likes Jeff Keighley and why.
that's a feature.
Yeah. Oh, God. But please, yeah, no. It probably is at some point in the future. But anyway, returning to real and unfortunately unpleasant news, just to finish on a high note for the news section.
Oh, fine.
My one this week is on Paradox. Okay. Have you guys seen the stuff around Paradox Interactive this week?
No, haven't, but we know that you love Paradox, so...
I am a fan of their games, yeah. So, yeah, last week now, Paradox Interactive CEO Ebba, I'm going to get this wrong, Lungerud, has stepped down...
Did you have to say it like that?
that's as close as I think I can get to it. I'm going by Lundberg as the way to pronounce that. Yes. So,
I was similarly going by Freddie Lundberg. But yeah.
Yeah, it's the only way I could do that. Anyway, she has stepped down due to differing views on the company's strategy going forward. The resignation takes effect immediately, though she has agreed to stay on for an unspecified time to ensure a good handover. And they then went in to say some very nice things about it and their regrets of her leaving. And she's been replaced by their former CEO, Frederick Wester, who resigned in 2018 and was replaced by Lungerud. So that didn't sound like things had gone very well, particularly not leaving for company strategy going forward. Like, that doesn't suggest many positive things. And it also comes at the end of a week where another senior member of the team left. I can't actually remember who, and I'm so sad my note isn't here for it, but you know, someone else also left earlier this week from the major board. There we go. Daniel Goldberg, goddamn. Yeah. who was the chief marketing officer. I do apologize. Also left at the end of August. So suggesting there's some problems there, wouldn't you say?
What do you imagine? What's the catalyst here? So,
I'm glad you phrased it that way, Ben, because there was some more news today, which apparently, according to reports, is completely unrelated, but is quite interesting.
Right, okay.
Which is that Crusader Kings developer Paradox Interactive has been accused of bullying and gender discrimination. Union-led employee survey conducted in August, interesting that it was before these two left, found that almost half of the 133 staff who participated experienced mistreatment.
Jesus.
The survey results show the problems are mainly about bullying and gender discrimination, and the worst for women. 69% of women who responded said they'd experienced it, and the corresponding figure for men was 33%. The union said that mistreatment is a systemic and far too common issue at Paradox, and that high-level perpetrators are perceived as shielded by the company. The survey What's also highlights a culture of silence at Paradox around these events. Now, obviously, all the reports and even the article that breaks this stress that it's completely unrelated to the CEO resigning the same day she had to break the news to the staff.
Fuck off.
Completely unrelated to a female CEO leaving the same day she drops it to the staff, clearly. I'm not implying there's a difference, but I'm heavily implying it. Not a great week for Paradox as a whole.
In terms of their games...
Mm.
They obviously make all your favorite strategy games.
Pretty much, a good chunk of them.
They also, from what I see, I didn't realize they did Empire of Sin.
Yeah, which I mean, bit of a miss, but you know.
I mean, that was Eddie and I played that, and it was awful. But
they publish quite a wide variety, Surviving Mars, City Skylines, Pillars of Eternity. But all of them are published
by them. Hearts of Iron franchise, that's supposed to be amazing. I mean, I played one of them, it was way too complicated. But
Hearts of Iron, Europa Universalis, Imperator Rome, they're all their own games. So right. The big grand strategies tend to be their own productions.
Right, so the grand strategies they develop, but the games like Empire of Sin, they publish.
Yes, and I mean, even there are some big hits like the ones mentioned there, Surviving Mars, Pillars, things like that.
They published Mount & Blade.
They did, didn't they? Yeah.
Yep.
So, did they?
Yeah, so they've got a pretty wide catchment.
But there's Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, which is having a really troubled development.
Yes.
So they're publishing that as well. It's interesting. Like, I didn't realise they dipped their toes, or they were not even dipping their toes. They publish games quite heavily as well.
They do, yeah.
So yeah, well, but that's a shame. I'm sure there's more that's going to come out about that. The stuff you were discussing, Pete, I'm sure that's going to come out in the next couple of weeks, but it seems to be systemic, and perhaps the Activision stuff has been a catalyst for other studios.
I know
there were cases of this in the previous couple of years as well. Mm. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a matter. Is Eddie's mic just cutting in and out indiscriminately? It's just.
Is it?
I think he's just having fun with it. I think he's just playing with it. You know?
Yeah. Sorry, listeners. No. Eddie's just going mental. But yeah.
Now I feel. By the way, I should be. I
feel like you can't hear me. Can you?
Point out. No, yeah, we can. Hear
you.
We can. We can.
Oh, you can't hear me. Yeah.
I should finish this, by the way, with the statement that Paradox came out with it. In response to this.
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
Which is, we are aware of a survey undertaken inside the company on this topic and of the results, which are obviously not satisfactory. The management team wants to ensure this data is acted upon, but taking immediate direct action is legally difficult thanks to the informal nature of the survey and thanks to the results being shared just before we underwent this CEO change, which has been fairly busy for us. We are currently working to reconcile the informal survey with our own internal research and are eager to take action.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I feel I should say that, but I also feel it's not got much value until we learn more. So I think watch this space for a couple of weeks is probably the best option, isn't it?
They have again distanced themselves from the CEO leaving and that piece there. I just wonder if it were to do with a strategy piece. It's interesting because long-term direction of this, because they generally have had a very consistent direction of
they really what they have. Produce. Yeah, like
every one of their games is very similar, I would say, from what you've said, Pete. So, I'm interested to see what strategic direction they are, which has caused this.
Yes, I'm sure it is completely the strategic direction that has caused this, and I too will be keen to see what comes next.
Well, shall we move on from that before we say things which may not be true? I don't know.
Of course, yeah. I mean, we've already gone into massive amounts of hearsay, but yes, sure, let's move on to the new releases.
Well, there was a big leak this week, which I think may get confirmed at the Sony showcase as well. Alan Wake is getting a remaster, and that is coming out on the 5th of October on PlayStation and Xbox, so it's a month away.
Bloody hell.
It's just come out of nowhere. But this is—it's probably it could get announced at the Sony showcase, but it's pretty much being reported everywhere now that this is actually happening. So there we go. In terms of games coming out this week, we have our first one is September the 7th. We have a free-to-play game. So we have Vampire: The Masquerade Blood Hunt, which was shown at E3, I think.
You've got this already, haven't you? Somehow.
I have. I've got it. I think ready to download on Steam, or I've put it on my wish list or something. I've done something. But it's all, I clicked on it yesterday. I did something, but it's on PC only. I don't know if it's got any scope for it coming to consoles. I imagine it would, but it's PC to start with. Vampire Battle Royale game. I am absolutely sold. Of course, I'm definitely going to play this. And I want to see whether the 1X player can handle it. The only reason I think maybe it can handle it is because it's a free-to-play game. That's dodgy ground, because the 1X player that I'm using as my handheld PC is obviously a low-spec gaming PC. So we'll see how it goes. And it will probably struggle, which moves me straight on to the next game, which is called Struggling.
Nice. That's well played.
That's on the PS4 and Xbox, and it's a physics-based co-op platformer. It comes out on the 8th of September. That's all I know.
And just to give you, the only thing I've seen to describe this is control the arms of a squishy abomination as you guide it through a deranged world where anything goes.
The fact that I wrote four words on it probably says I wasn't that impressed when I looked at it. I don't know. Unlike the next game, which is called Kraken Academy, and it's coming out on PC on the 10th of September, I'm really not certain on exactly what this game is.
I'm not sure they are, Ben. I'm really not sure they are.
Is it a mushroom?
I don't really.
Is that what it is?
I don't think it's a mushroom. I'll read what they've said. It says, make friends, free spirits and make sure that the world doesn't end. Join forces with a magical kraken to manipulate a time loop and save the world. It's an adventure indie role-playing game. It's top-down and it's pixel art. And just from what the little that I've seen, I think this could be a sleeper indie hit.
You've also missed out my favourite line of the blurb, Ben, which is, welcome to Kraken Academy, a Technicolor fever dream that for legal reasons can only be described as technically a school.
Yes, I didn't want to read that because I think my tongue would get tired trying to read that, so I asked that.
Just technical a fever dream. Just it's going to be an interesting one. That could be an indie sleep.
How it explains why he's a mushroom? Maybe he's a magic mushroom.
Talk to Frank Eddie and let's move past that.
That's a nice one, Pete. I'll give you that one. Right, then we get to a big one of the week, and that is Life is Strange True Colors. So that's the next Life is Strange game. It comes out on the 10th of September. It's on PC, PS5. New Xboxes, old Xboxes, PS4s, Switch, Stadia, it's on every fucking thing. So this time, your power in this Life is Strange game is, I mean, it's a weird one. It's reading people's emotions. So it's empathy, basically, which I've expanded to reading people's minds, I think, maybe, because otherwise it's just empathy, which is a weird superpower. But
I think obviously he needs that superpower, but maybe it's like another L.A. Noir, because we need another L.A. Noir because it was such a good movie. So maybe that's what it's kind of like.
Yeah, L.A. Noir. Jesus, that was a shitter. I think this is going to be good. It's a Life is Strange game. It's going to be good. It's a choice based walking simulator like the Walking Dead games for those people who don't really know what this is. But it's going to be a big game.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a big release, isn't it? It's not one that interests me very much, but
no,
it's definitely a big one.
It's a certain type of gamer, and I am definitely this type of gamer. I'm just not really prepared to drop £40, I guess, on it.
Wow. Because
the previous Life is Strange games have come out in episodes, and then in like the complete season and stuff, and it usually comes to Game Pass. I think this isn't coming to Game Pass. I think it's just straight up by.
Ben, this game is only the price of 4 PS5 cases.
I mean, come on.
It's a bargain.
Very true. Never a truer word spoken. Right. Then we have Lost in Random, which, do you guys remember the EA event we had not long ago?
Yes.
It was an IP that was shown there. It was that dice roll mechanic game for the battling, which was very it's kind of like gothic kind of cartoon based game. It looked quite good though from what we saw, and people have been generally quite hyped. It's on PC, PS5, but all of them except for Stadia, so everything else. It's on September 10th, it's coming out, so it's quite nice that those games that we were shown not long ago starting to come out.
Indeed.
Then we have NBA 2K22. That's on everything, September 10th, whatever.
Massive game, huge fan base. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. Then we have Tales of Arise, which, I mean, this is a big fucking week, actually. So Tales of Arise, PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, and Xbox, 10th of September. I've never played a Tales game, but this is a fucking huge franchise, and there is so much hype around this JRPG. Like, People are really banging to this one. And people have, I mean, I've seen on our Twitter, like, people have bought a PS5 to play this game.
Yeah.
Jesus.
They want to play this new version of the game. So, I don't know. Let's see how that reviews.
But, I mean, this one was the one that was meant to come out last year, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
It's been delayed by, like, over a year, I think.
Pete, it's not a franchise I am familiar with. It's not really a franchise I keep up with either. I just know it's big. So that's all I really know about it. So,
Fair enough.
I don't know. The next one, 10th of September on Switch, WarioWare. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
I think you should read out your comment on this one, Ben.
I've just put, ugh.
Yeah. It's even worse than a whatever. My God.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered. Then the big one for this week, 14th of September, PC, PS5, Deathloop. the last Bethesda game to come to PlayStation. So this one had already had the pre-agreed exclusivity to come to PlayStation. And eventually it's going to come to Game Pass when it when that exclusivity gets used up. I think maybe 6-12 months. I think it might be 12 months. It's an interesting first-person shooter, roguelike, that it's been shown to death. I mean, I feel like I've played the game.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got platinum. But it does look like a day one purchase. It's next gen only. It's by the people who made the made Dishonored. So yeah. It's going to be a banger, isn't it? So yeah, but big week this week with Tales.
It really is. Deathloop, it's a lot of games we've heard about Strange. For a while.
Yeah. They've all kind of snuck up on us, and I think September is just a big September, October. You've got Kena coming up, you've got Metro Dread, and you've got that Eastwood game that's coming out on the 16th of September
Very
as well.
True,
so it's a big couple of weeks coming up.
Well,
so.
we're in the lead up, aren't we? Like this is where all the games start dropping. So hopefully the barren times are over, guys. Hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so on to what we've been playing then, I guess. And for once, guys, I've played more than one game.
I mean, hang on, is one of them Solaris? Because that doesn't count.
Well, yes, but I wasn't including that one. Another one's also Total War Warhammer 2, but I'm not including that one either. I mean, the first one, to be fair, I've mentioned before, but I just thought I'd let you know that I completed Thronebreaker.
Fucking hell, that's a big game. Nice.
It is. It was 28 hours for the playthrough, so it's a significant game.
That's more reasonable because I was seeing like 35, 40.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I could see how it would take you that long because I won't lie, a couple of the puzzles, I just went, I can't be bothered with this one and switched it. But if you had to battle through all the way without looking it up, that would take some time. But a couple of them I wasn't doing that for. They just weren't my speed. So, yeah, I mean, we've said it before, but it's a fantastic game. Like, yeah, brilliant. It's really good. And actually, the last two chapters, which I hadn't reached last week, were the best ones. The last one you'd have liked, Eddie, because it's pretty much all standard battles, and there's lots of them.
Oh, good.
And just before that, you get to meet everyone's favourite Witcher. And use him in battle. Geralt, obviously.
I was trying to think of another fucking one. Damn it. Come on, Eddie.
Should have said Vesemir. Game. But yeah, no, you meet Geralt and his team, and it actually, for someone like myself who's a fan of the books and the whole universe of it, it links up with the books. Like, the storyline ties into a point in the books where they overlap, and you play through that. I thought it was really, really well done, and finishes it off really well. And the final battle is actually really hard as well, which is great. Like, that's what you want. But I think, you know, like a normal deck like these, you have like 7 cards in your hand and 20 to the side.
Yeah.
The guy you're playing against has 90 in his deck and continually brings them out. It's a challenge, that one. So only positive stuff there. I would recommend it to anyone who likes card-based battle games.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and it's so cheap. Just do it. But the other game I got into was one I think we mentioned a few months ago, which is Unto the End.
Mm.
Do you remember this one?
I don't. Let me check it out while you talk.
Yeah, yeah, I think
yeah, I'm actually just typing it in now.
So it's on Game Pass, just so.
Oh, aware. Yes.
It's a short cinematic platformer. And the whole thing from the developers was that it's a survival combat game, which is defense first and difficult.
Pete, you know what this reminds me of? The game that came out last week, Song of Iron.
Yeah. Well, it was actually in the build up to Song of Iron, because I'm planning to get that at some point, that I thought I'd give this a try.
Lovely.
And I'm kind of glad it's not out on Steam from our news last week, because it is only about 2 hours long. So I reckon I could have sneaked in a return there if it wasn't in Game Pass. But
said about how bad that is. Come on, what the fuck? Jesus.
I mean,
that's on the developer. We said that's on the developer. Yeah,
exactly. We did end with that, yeah.
Yeah, so. That's it, exactly. So, and I mean, yes. There are some good points to it. The art style is actually really good. So I enjoyed that. It doesn't mess around too much with story, but it gives you enough to go on. And then the focus purely is on, well, I mean, partially it's a maze, so you can easily get lost and spend longer in it. But the focus is mostly on the challenge of the combat. Now, That combat was a little bit disappointing for me, if I'm honest. Which was a bit of a shame, because it does give a pretty big build up at the beginning to, like, you're going to need to be defensive, you're going to need to think about it and all this sort of stuff. And yes, it's true, but a lot of the difficulty comes from really clunky timing, insanely clunky timing. And the particular one for that is ducking. So you have a feature in it, you can duck. You can also do all the standards like rolling away, parrying, etc. But you can duck, which is meant to be pretty handy when people throw things like spears at you. Except the timing of it is horrendous. And they don't duck for very long. So if you're off by any amount, which it depends on when the console picks it up, you're dead. They're one-shot kill the thrown spear. So that didn't really feel like a difficulty thing. That felt like this was badly done.
Yeah.
And a few of the other parts to it. The rolling's pretty good. I mean, that's very faint praise, let's be honest. But a lot of the things, like if you roll into someone, you fall over and throw your sword out of the way. You don't roll past them. Like, things like that are a bit weird. Mm. And if you throw your knife, a lot of the map is really dark. You have a throwing knife. If you throw that knife and miss, you're just making a new throwing knife. And that entirely depends on RNG of when you get the equipment to do so.
Mm.
And it's things like that are just a bit weird. Although I did enjoy the animation he does when he tries to look in his pocket for a throwing knife and just comes up without one and just sort of shrugs at you. That was quite amusing. But
so Pete, would you, for this type of short game, and we've got to remember there are several types of gamers out there. There's the gamers, I'd say, like you and Eddie, who like your long, in-depth, like basically life games. Then there are, I think I'm a bit of a hybrid where I like the concept of that, but it's hard to find games that I'm really into. But I like the 25-hour story things, but I also like these shorter experiences, which just like in and out, and like you get a nice buzz from completing a game. And because a lot of people haven't got all this time to be playing video games, they've got a couple of hours here and there. Is this a game that you'd recommend in that bracket, or actually not really?
I mean, probably, but not with much conviction.
Yeah.
For people who like a short, mechanical-driven platformer, you'll get something out of this. Like, you definitely will. And the art style is really nice, and the music works well with it. So atmospherically, it's good. But while some of the boss fights were a challenge in a good way, most of the thing you were battling is the mechanics, and that even comes down to there's a couple of points where if you jump and mistime it, the roof is just slightly too low, so you'll fall. And things like that, where it's kind of like, I don't think you actually meant this, I think your level design just went a bit off, are kind of annoying. Now, I'd still say it's a pretty good achievement, because I think it's a very small team who created this game. But I wasn't as impressed as I'd have liked to be to fully recommend it.
Well, interestingly, I mean, you said this was on Game Pass. Song of Iron, which came out last week, was made by one man.
Yeah.
I think that's between 4 and 5 hours. It's getting pretty good reviews, but
yeah,
I can't justify spending 16 quid or whatever on a 4 or 5 hour game. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
Now, one thing I will say, by the way, that was good for this game. Sorry, I should have added this. The mechanic. They have a bleeding mechanic, which obviously, essentially, every time you get hit, you start bleeding. You can only heal. You can only heal at the fires, essentially, or using a one-off tonic that you can only make again at a fire. Now, I enjoyed that, because it did mean you played more defensively to stop yourself getting wounded. That was the best bit.
Are the fires save points? Are they
essentially,
bonfires, Pete? Are they bonfires?
They're campfires, but they're very similar in concept.
Nice. I'm interested. I'm intrigued.
But it's also, you're running through a wintry wasteland. I'm pretty sure a fire is just a good rest point for anyone. But yeah, that was probably the bleeding mechanic and the way it influenced the way you fight, I thought was probably the best bit about it.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's cool that you've been playing some new games as well.
Yeah.
I'll go next, because Ben, you've got another huge simulator coming up, and I cannot wait to hear about it. So let me just get mine out of the way. I've been playing Outriders.
Fantastic.
Yeah. We talked about it the other week, and of course, Ben, you've played it before, haven't you? So
I really like it. Really like it.
So yeah, I won't go into much detail because obviously, Ben, you've already talked about. I think it looks great, doesn't it, Ben? It's a beautiful game, and again, maybe I'm hyping it up too much because I haven't played many games that are optimized for my new Xbox. So maybe I'm looking at things through a tinted glass. But I think it looks beautiful. Like when you're running around and
I totally agree. Yeah,
even really the cutscenes. Yeah, it just all looks stunning. Same with the gunplay, the thwack of it. I think that's the best word to describe it. Thwack. Definitely not a word, but I'm going to use it.
I know what you mean, though. I know what you mean.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone will go, that's stupid, but everyone knows what I mean. It just feels great, even with all the different weapons. They're just... It's that kind of thing that only some games seem to have, and this game definitely has it. It feels great. You could literally just run around and shoot your gun at near people, and it still feels great to do.
Yeah.
Which is really good for a game like this, because this kind of game is a game that I don't like. I think you described it exactly. I think you described it like this. It's a very good Gears of War.
I think so, yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
It's a cover-based shooter, so yeah.
Yeah, it feels exactly like Gears of War, the way you just pump like fucking 12 billion bullets into someone and they just, you know, carry on running. And if you're not behind cover, then you're in trouble. So it just felt exactly like that. But, but it's, as I said, because the gunplay is so good, it's still fun to play. Like, I normally get so bored with these games because they're immersion breaking and they're not, I just don't find them enjoyable. But because the gunplay is so good, that I just kept on playing it and playing it and playing it.
Also, the special powers, they're brilliant, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. And they keep things interesting. I think I restarted the game like 3 times just to try the different classes.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to carry on playing it because I thought the story fell off a cliff a bit, Ben. I don't want to spoil anything, but very soon into the story, it flips. It completely flips. And I thought it was going along this nice happy route where there might be some little troublesome things happening. And then all of a sudden I wake up and holy shit, it's all hit the fan. And
I thought it was brilliant. Yeah.
it's a fun game to play, but my problem, and it was always going to be a problem all week, is I bought Royalty, as I mentioned last week, RimWorld Royalty. Nice. So even though I was playing Outriders, because you know I was like, oh, you need to play the game this week, I was in the back of my head, you could be playing Royalty. I'm just gonna quickly say about Royalty, it's brilliant. And I'm glad I spent the money, obviously, because I want to support the developers. But at the end of the day, it is just another mod. Pete knows what I'm talking about. The modding scene's so good on RimWorld that the mods are so good. Like, you can completely change your game with a matter of like 2 or 3 mods. And this
look at the
DLC,
Mass Effect one.
Yes, the Mass Effect one's a perfect example. The Mass Effect mod is better than this DLC. Now, that's not criticizing the developers, because it's not, because, you know, they have created, in my opinion, the best game of all time. But it's just a bit sad. What do you guys think? Do you think this should take away from the developers, or do you think this should add to them? Because the developers have put this modding scene in place so that people can create these amazing mods. But at the same time, they've kind of shot themselves in the foot, because now the DLCs that they release aren't as good as the fucking mods that are coming out. It's a weird conundrum,
I think what you get is people like you who love the game, and then you kind of respect the artistic vision of what the developers are trying to do, and the fact that they've put in this game in place that then people mod on top is fantastic. The mods obviously are brilliant, but you have a paid staff there who have developed this game, and so yes, it costs money to get a mod, basically one mod which you'd get free otherwise. Like you said, the Mass Effect one is amazing and stuff. So, but I think, you know, it's a tough scenario where you encourage all of the modding and then you try and release some DLC. But I think with the community of this game, people are happy to pay for it because of just what it is.
I couldn't agree more. I think RimWorld probably has the most diehard fans I've ever known in my life. If you type in like RimWorld stuff online, there'll be merch that have been made by fans. There's endless amount of fan art. Like on the background on my laptop right now is a piece of fan art about a muffalo traveling through the grass. And there's so much like the sounds and music. You can find like handmade music about RimWorld that's just by fans. So I completely agree. I reckon even while making these DLCs, they probably thought, you know, we'll put an okay price because everyone's just going to buy it just to kind of show their appreciation. I can agree more with that.
Well, I think the other part to this, particularly with royalty, because I haven't looked as much into ideology, which is the other one, but it adds mechanics that people can then mod on top of.
Yes.
So if you think like the empire mechanics in royalty, it's that gives an awful lot more stuff for the modders to play with. I think it's worth it just for that.
I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the mechanics that they've used for the Mass Effect mod, using that as an example, have come from these things that have come through the, royalty, because it was made a lot after royalty. So I wouldn't be surprised. And there are a lot of things like powers that have come that you just know have come from this, thing. So I anyone who plays RimWorld definitely get it because A, you'll be, you know, supporting the devs, but also it is good fun and it's actually made me uninstall all the mods. I am slowly adding mods on as I go.
Of course you are.
Holy shit, how did I live without that? But it's got me back into RimWorld again, so you know I'm gonna be playing that for the next God knows
30
how long.
Years. Yeah.
The good Stellaris amount.
Nice.
A healthy Stellaris amount of gameplay. Yeah.
I think just before we move on from your games, Eddie, like moving back to Outriders, just everyone is on Game Pass, so that is one to try. But it's I think one of the main criticisms of that game was that it felt like you were funneled into an area and then people and then you fight in that area and it seems very scripted. Is that what you got, Eddie?
Yes, very much so. But aren't all those games like that?
Exactly. And maybe, when you accept it, you kind of get over it.
But and I think the fact that you've got your powers and the gunplay so good, I think people who like that kind of game, I think, like, I mean, how popular was Gears of War when it came out? I remember playing it and I remember thinking this is absolute shite, but it was the biggest game at the time by a country mile. So anyone who likes that kind of game, I reckon they'll pick this up and they'll go, holy shit, you got the extra mechanics that the other games don't have. I think they'll really, really enjoy it. And it's free. So.
Yes, I get what you're saying where it flips because you think it's going to go down the Avatar route, but it actually goes down the Gears of War
route. The Avatar route, exactly, and then it goes down the Gears of War route,
And I understand, but honestly, I really loved it. I think, gunplay's excellent, so people try that game. It's good stuff.
Definitely try it,
Right, so on to my game.
What was that? That was the longest.
It's because
I left that pause because I'm not announcing Ben onto another simulator.
I accidentally muted, and so I had to unmute. And it was
lava. I thought you were like building up the suspense to bus simulator.
So in last week when we were doing the games to be released, Bus Simulator 2 was coming out. I think Pete, the one who doesn't like the simulators, told me that Bus Simulator 2018 was indeed down to £8 on Steam. So I went in there and I had a go on it. Bus Simulator 2018. I thought because we saw the advert for Bus Simulator 2, I was all in. So I thought I'd definitely have to try this one first. Unfortunately, Eddie, I can confirm that double-decker buses are not in Bus Simulator 18.
Fucking hell. What?
Yeah, I know you're furious about it, but I can say that I am having a hell of a lot of fun with this game. So Power Wash Simulator, we talked about that the other week, and it was just power washing, and it was just a relaxing experience. Yep. But this is actually a bit of a management sim.
Ooh,
it's actually a game. You start off a bus company. You've got objectives. You create the routes. You earn money. You gain value and wealth for the company. You then get employees in. You train them up. You buy new buses. You do new routes. You expand the area. It's fucking brilliant.
That sounds fantastic.
You get access to more of the map. The bus driving, the actual gameplay element, is good. Like you feel it's incredible. You actually feel like you're driving a bus. Like, it's so good.
Oh, it's so good.
You have to turn the ignition, take the handbrake off. You have to indicate. You have to drive properly. You have to. Everything is about driving properly. I'll be stuck in traffic. I'll be waiting there for the cars to go to turn left. It's even harder. Is that you've got to drive properly on American roads. So just get random things happening, and you just indicate and just go. Oh, I don't know the rules, so you've got to use your mirrors. And like, I was like, well, how do I know if my indicator's on? Well, because you look down at your steering wheel, and then you've pushed your indicator left, and you can hear it click. Oh, you're like, but nothing else. There's nothing else. Like, it's all just the but. You're in the bus, and then if somebody's left rubbish on the bus, you got to go and pick it up, and you got to serve people tickets. They say, oh, I want a single ticket. You got to do all that shit. Like, it's got you earn. So when you do a bus route, you then basically get a score, a monetary value for that week. And then the better you do on all your routes, you can then put your staff and your employees to do those routes, and they'll earn that kind of money repeatedly. So it gives you an incentive to do better when you ride that route once. So you've always got to ride a route every week. But then you also just employ your staff to do it, and you just build up the wealth, and it's all about getting to the final like bus station thing and controlling the whole area at the end. So it's, I think for online it's like 45-50 hour game. And what really sold it to me, guys, this is what really sold it to me, that I went on the reviews on Steam and somebody said they were a bus driver and this was an excellent game.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, just before we move any further, I just want to raise something that's been in my mind for a little while, which is more of a question for Eddie than it is for Ben.
Go on.
Now, we know that Ben is busily changing career paths, as it were. But do you think he's just got to a point now where anything approaching a job feels like entertainment to him? Because seriously, that's the impression I'm getting. I'm just saying.
Oh, it is a bit weird these going through this simulation route at the moment, isn't it? You know what? If they had Amazon delivery driver, holy shit, we wouldn't hear from Ben again, would we?
Gone. Deliveroo is the expansion. Like,
stop, guys. I'll stop you right there because I haven't got it on my list, but I've actually played Lake this week.
Oh, yes.
So that is delivering parcels in 1986 around a village.
Do you reckon if I stuck a VR headset on Ben, I could also make him earn money for me by thinking he's in a game? Because that's the point we're at, in my opinion.
Yeah, but then he'll run over some people and be like, meh.
When I did my first bus route this week, I did say to myself, wow, this is like work.
I love it. It's like, what?
It's just great. Yeah. It's absolutely brilliant. And I did accidentally, somebody just walked out. I don't understand the American crossings. So somebody just walked out and I hit them. I lost a lot of money that week. And you know what? No, honestly, I felt bad.
Were you poring through insurance documents at one point in this game as well? Like trying to make sure.
Hiring a lawyer.
Honestly, when I hit that person, I was like, oh, because you're trying to do it all properly. Like you can get caught by speed cameras and all this kind of stuff. So you got to do it. Got to do it properly.
God.
Anyway, so that's Bus Simulator. So I'm well pumped for the second one. Apart from that, I'm not going to go into these ones in any real depth because the real big game of the week was Bus Simulator, obviously. I did actually start State of Decay 2, Eddie, after you mentioned it ages ago.
Ages ago, before I sing its praises, Will, what do you think?
So, yeah, I was playing it on the One X player. I was playing it on the cloud mainly.
Oh, brilliant.
So it's fantastic handheld, and to me it seems like my perfect zombie game. Like it's a management sim where you care about the individual characters, and it's a zombie game. It's great. I love those games going out and getting resources in each mission and then coming back. So in that vein, we talked about it last week because it was a new release. I got Chernobylite.
Oh wow.
So it turns out, you know, when we say I get things wrong and dates wrong and stuff like that, it turns out Chernobylite is coming out later in the month on PS4 and Xbox. So I was completely wrong about it coming out last week. But I couldn't wait, so I got it on PC and I'm playing it on the One X player. So playing it handheld, and that game is very much one of those games where it's base building. You go out on missions, you tell your fellow people that are in your camp to go out on different missions as well. It's about resource management. It's about feeding them. It's about, you know, rations and trying to keep morale up in your camp so that the success of their individual missions is good, as well as you going out and having to resource grab as well. It's in a bit of a supernatural environment. It's in Chernobyl, and it's they've done like actual captured images from the exclusion zone and everything. So, and it's, yeah, it's got a supernatural element to it. It seems pretty much my perfect game as well. So I'm only a couple of hours into that. I'm past the point where I can return it on Steam. So I'll be playing that one a bit more. But yeah, those two games, State of Decay 2 and Chernobylite, very kind of similar in that nature. Almost Escape from Tarkov, like you were saying.
Yeah, well, you've added. So I was going to say that sounds like you've just described my perfect game. Like keeping morale high and sending people out on missions. That is, wow, that's incredible. And base building,
yes, very much so. Like, and choosing where you put everything, and like putting the beds there and the power generator and upgrade for your weapons over here and stuff like that. What I would say is that I think it's very story based as well. And I think it's about 15 hours long, so I don't think it's like really, really long and huge, and like the arc kind of experience. But I do think it has all the characteristics for a game that you would love, Eddie. So watch some reviews for it. That's what I'd say, because it does seem very much like that, your type of game.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a bit of a limbo week for me. That's why I landed on Bus Simulator. But yeah, here we are.
Well, thank God you did.
Yeah, I know. I'm fucking so glad.
Anyway, now we're done with that. let's move forward and let's move on to the feature, shall we, gents?
Yeah, Dead Space.
Yeah, and I mean, for those who don't know, this was a 40-minute, I mean, showcase.
Yeah, it's more tech demo.
Yeah,
didn't they exclusively say don't call it a showcase?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they actually did. Yeah. I paid a lot of attention to that part, clearly.
It was at the beginning, to be fair. To be fair.
I know. But, I mean, obviously we saw the trailer again.
Yep.
Which looks good.
That's great.
Yeah, but the trailer itself is very short, though, wasn't it? We basically got nothing. We got a bit of scrapable kind of pieces, and that was it.
Yes. Yeah.
But they did go into quite a bit of build images, build video mechanics. They showed basically how they've built up the world again, haven't they?
Yeah.
They kind of did side by sides with the 2008 version. So for those that have forgotten or weren't aware, Dead Space from 2008, the original game, is getting a full remake. So people were kind of unsure about whether this was a remaster, a remake. You can play the original games on Game Pass right now. And in one of our previous episodes, I fully played through and completed Dead Space 1 again. And Eddie did a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
So
fantastic game.
And it looks great still. And I think it holds up really well to this day. So people were very much thinking, well, what are they going to do? And I think this did go into the fact that they're not reinventing the wheel with this, are they?
No.
They are very much just making it's a remake, and they are putting a lot into it, but they're not remaking everything from the ground up. But it's definitely not a remaster. Is that the impression you got?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And
they're going to build a lot around the lore and the stories around Isaac and his wife and everything, and how she came to be there and all that kind of stuff. So that they are going to put a lot more into it, but this was never a long game, was it, Pete?
It was not. No, I mean, it's a 10-hour game. Like
the original was. Yeah, I think I did. Original, 9:40. I think.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, your experience may vary, listener, but it's going to be around there. I can't think of any way you'd extend it past like 12, and that would be quite a few deaths.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, so what do we reckon about this new one? Because they're expanding on it. It's going to be fairly similar, maybe a bit longer. It's nothing, not going to be groundbreaking in length, is it?
Well, no, you wouldn't think so. I mean, biggest scenario is doubling it, and I sincerely doubt that. I think it's more like maybe 12 to 14 hours the additions. Like,
if you do the atmosphere right, you probably wouldn't want it to be 20 hours.
No, no, by that point. And I don't know about you guys. So to go back to the show itself, it was a 40-minute show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we're talking about a 10 to 12-hour game.
Yes.
So 10% of your experience of the game was also laid out in the time of this. And not obviously not in what they showed, but I mean, does anyone else think it was a bit long? It felt a bit
long. You know what it felt like to me? It felt like one of those Halo events that they've been doing monthly, the ones that nobody cares about. However, what they were showing was quite interesting, but it was almost like, in a way, it was like, we'll show you all this stuff so that you don't get carried away.
Yeah. And I feel, not to avoid leaving the content behind, I thought the lighting changes, by the way, and the way they're rebuilding it look great.
Yeah.
I think the improvements to lighting over the generations have been amazing anyway. So I think...
There are a couple of things that I thought looked amazing. And going back to what you said, Ben, when they had a comparison, I thought the old game looked amazing. But my God, when they did the side-by-side comparison, holy shit, does it look bad compared to the new one.
Such a good point.
It's astronomical. It's to the point, you know, this game is going to be one of those games where you play it and you cannot go back to the old ones because it's going to look so shit. But the two things that I really picked up on was the lighting looks better somehow, and the smoke that, you know, the steam fog, that was around the fog stuff. Holy shit, did that make it look so much better? Yeah, those are the two things that really jumped out at me.
So when I went back and played the first one, again, can't emphasize enough, 2008, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And the game always looked amazing. And we've said this a number of times on this podcast, that when you have these close quarters games, almost like in the Alien environment, this was very heavily Alien inspired, or Aliens rather. It's easier to get it right, isn't it? Because the lighting is so, it impacts the graphics so much. And that is something that has improved so much. But they were so ahead of their time in terms of how it looked and felt. Now, when you go back and play the first game, I know Eddie had a different experience recently because Eddie said he was still shit scared. But I played the original, and I didn't find it scary at all. I just played it for being a good game. I just quite enjoyed it, you know. I remember back in the day, I was fucking shit scared by this game. And I genuinely think that this remake will be fucking scary.
Yeah.
I think it will. And I think we're in need of a AAA horror game that's really scary.
You see, that's the funny bit. When I look back at Dead Space, I see it more as more for the investigation aspect than the horror. I mean, your own mental state is also a really interesting part in Dead Space, your character's mental state. But that's always the bit I remember. So it would actually be good to go back or play this new one and find it terrifying.
I wonder, one of the mechanics in the old game, for those that haven't played it, is it was very scary back in the day. However, it had one mechanic which made it less scary. You know, in Resident Evil, you basically have to trawl the house or whatever and you figure out what's going on. There's zombies everywhere. You're often being chased, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
However, in Dead Space, you can just click the button and it will show you the exact path to where you're supposed to go. Now, that was a feature which was very, very friendly to people that couldn't quite handle a horror game. Because you could have your set path and you go, yes, I'm just going to go down that route, I'll kill these things and it's fine. I wonder if they eliminate that on the new one.
It would be an improvement, wouldn't it?
I think they're going to eliminate that
for the experience.
For me as well, when I'm playing these type of games that I don't usually play, when I have situations where I actually have to think and actually, you know, like plan my route, if you will, then I feel more immersed in it. I feel like I'm actually invested in the game. Yes. If you've just got a button that goes, I mean, we see it in so many games where you click a button and it will show the exact path. And for me, who plays these games for more research than to enjoy it, I just feel like I'm clicking that button all the time and I feel like I'm doing it as a job. Well, I know for a fact that if they didn't have that, I would go, I would like look at my journal more. I would, oh, hang on, if I'm going that far, I'll need maybe more ammo of this type. You know, I'll just immerse myself way more if it didn't have that feature.
Yeah, I think they're going to get rid of it. That's one thing that nobody's really talking about, but I reckon they will.
It's actually one of the biggest reasons I always loved Morrowind, Eddie, by the way, was the fact that basically you had no navigation tool. Like, people wouldn't even tell you where stuff was on the map. They were just like, oh, yeah, it's in this town. And you're like, what? Where? And you had to follow signposts and random things like that to actually get there.
See, that's cool. Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah. And it was one of the better elements. And I think a horror game is definitely going to benefit from being, yeah, you got to figure this out.
I think it also benefits from the fact that Resident Evil, the recent ones, well, seven was scary. No, it shit me up. But the 8 village is not. And in fact, I don't really like it as a video game, as a horror game. It's an action game to me. So, what do we reckon about this type of event? So let's so Dead Space. Yeah, we're pretty sold on the Dead Space idea, and I think
massively.
People are. These types of events, then, for these types of games, do you reckon they're a good idea? So this developer transparency, because for those that aren't aware, they basically showed this game in such a pre-alpha state. They also took it to, like, basically had a shooting range, didn't they, where they had the necromorphs who were the enemies in the game, like the aliens, and they were, like, showing the physics of shooting, of taking limbs off them with different
guns. Yeah, how the skin peels back and all sorts.
So it was good. What the depth they went into, that's great, those mechanics stuff, but it was very, very pre-built, wasn't it? It was pre-production.
So my thought, I think I got to it earlier with the length of this thing, but do you remember when Legendary Edition for Mass Effect came out a little while ago? They did that really quick montage bit where it's like old scene, new scene, old scene, new scene. And it shows you the differences in the graphics of the faces and all that sort of stuff. And it did it in the course of 30 seconds. And my problem with this event was more that I think a lot of what they showed could have been summed up in 2 minutes.
Yes.
Like, but for a that huge reason. Amount.
I think you're right, Pete, but for that reason, I think this event has a larger purpose. I think
that's a grand way of putting it. Go on.
Well, I think it's about developer transparency. I think it's about that they're preparing themselves to not for people not to over set their expectations. They don't want to underwhelm people. They want people to be assured that they're making these changes, but actually the game isn't a full remake. It's like a remake, but it's not like we're not going to be reinventing the wheel. And also, if you do events like this, if as it is at the moment, you need to push this game back, or it's 2 years from this point to development, people suddenly have like this appreciation of what the developers have gone through and what stage they're at. And it almost sells, it almost brings the consumer in this kind of new age of the internet where people hate on everything about things getting delayed and not being released in time. It almost brings the consumer into the world of the developer, or makes them feel like they're in the world of the developer. And I think that is quite a powerful way to get people to not hate on your release schedule. I also think it's a powerful way on these older franchises. So let's just say you've got a 20-year-old out there now who fucking all into video games. He doesn't know what Dead Space is.
Yeah.
He or she has no idea what Dead Space is. This is another way to bring it back into like what this game is, because so it envelops the nostalgia and people like us, but it also brings it to the mind of the people that, oh yeah, Dead Space has come back. I don't give a fuck about that. That was from 13 years ago. I wasn't playing computer games then. So it's a very interesting way of doing it, I think. Mm. And I think it could be something that more people do going forwards.
I liked it because it kind of showcased what was happening. It was a bit like a roadmap. It was like a visual roadmap because it kind of showed what they were doing, what they could do. I'm all on board for that. But I think it was horrendously done. I think 40 minutes for what is it, 10-hour game, where it's probably going to be like 14-hour game. I think that's awful. And I just thought it was so fucking bad. There's a few things that I wrote down the jokes were horrendous. But then the fake laughs were worse. Honestly, am I the only grumpy gamer in the fucking world? Because there were so many bits where they went like, oh, that's amazing. And I what the fuck are you talking about? You knew that was coming because your next question is so scripted. You're even reading off your second screen.
And you could watch them doing it, couldn't you?
You know, it's annoying. Could see them. You know what I don't like is when it's so obviously scripted, that's fine. If you're reading off a script, that's fine. But don't try and like play that you're not. There are a few instances where they were like, oh, that's interesting because I just want to know about this. Well, that's weird because your eyes flicked over to your other screen. You started reading something. So, yeah, you know, like, what was that wrestler that did that event?
He was amazing. Yeah,
he was amazing. Like, it was so obviously Xavier like some Woods. Of his questions. That's it. It was so obvious some bits were scripted, but he just played it off well. He did it well. While this was, it was criminal.
It was very noticeable from the two, because they were two developers and there were two like non-developers, and I couldn't really get the relationship to what this was. I think they were basically streamers or YouTubers or whatever that were into
this. One was a streamer one was a podcast chap. He was great, but I mean, like the streamer, it was out of place. I agree. Just so I don't get hate mail, it was out of place. I mean, she introduced herself as a nurse.
Yeah.
What was that? Did anyone else feel awkward then?
Yes. Yeah, it was like, I'm a nurse and part-time streamer.
And I'm also a content creator. Okay, well, thanks for bringing in the nurse bit. And then she also mentioned it later on, didn't she? She was like, oh, I'm in the healthcare profession. Okay, so what are you doing
how
here?
Skin peels off. Is,
yes,
is,
that's right. Yeah,
that's so weird. I thought the same thing, and she was the one I thought who you could see was reading off the other screen. It's like nobody had said, because like when I've done that before, I've had to do presentations on Zoom and stuff when in the pandemic. You always put the stuff you're reading on the screen that has your camera.
Yeah, of course, because then like, you don't look over to the other.
Yeah, it's just obvious.
Now, by the way, I will say I didn't actually think the podcaster was great either, because obviously he brought some good energy to it, but all of the questions were so closely controlled, you could tell that it wasn't fully natural.
I actually thought that he didn't contribute. And what we're doing now, we're critiquing how they put the show together rather than the Dead Space content.
We've bought into Dead Space. We've bought into it. For the event itself, I was not engaged with this.
Yeah. Like, I think,
again, you've taken 40 minutes to sum up something that could have been a couple of paragraphs and a few pictures.
I do think this could have been a 15 to 20 minute event. I think what game studios need to be doing is going out to Xavier Woods and getting him to do everything.
I wasn't a massive fan of Xavier Woods. He was definitely better
such,
than this.
He's such a gamer.
He's a massive gamer. We've asked him to come on this show, so don't do that.
Fortunately, he will turn us down.
That's fine, Pete, because we've asked the nurse as well, so don't worry about it. Fantastic.
But then you go out to Xavier Woods, and he needs to do all these shows. Like, I just think they need to get better. Like, and the problem, I suppose, when you with all these types of things, it's like they're reaching out. They've got the best people in their company, the best developers, or whatever, who'd be good at this thing, and they never are. I don't understand why people are so bad, because it's a pre-recorded thing.
but just
do it. Just record
even,
it.
And you know, I shouldn't say this because I know I've had microphone problems literally this podcast, and I know Ben's not going to edit it out, but. There was like for the last 10 minutes that French developer was rubbing his hands all the time and it kept rubbing up against his mic and the whole fucking time I was like, just take your fucking hands away from the mic.
Yeah, I mean, I know you caveat Eddie, you've done that so much to me.
hey, I have a cheap mic. What's that?
Also, you were talking about simulators so much, you got him excited. I mean, that's on you, Ben.
I'll take the blame for that one. But I
will say my overarching impression of this whole thing was it was a meeting that could have been an email. Like, that's where I stood on the event. Dead Space, yeah, I'm in. I'm sold. I want the remake. But it was a meeting that could have been an email.
I think a nice 15 minutes on games every that like this that are being developed would be lovely, because it just keeps people, it sets the expectations, it brings the franchise. But 40 minutes, you know, the PlayStation showcase is going to be 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know what, need to be. You know what, for me, these things, I can't stand the fakeness of these things. I hate when everyone asks the questions that everyone... you know, wants to hear, and everyone's smiling all the fucking time. I think this event could have been brilliant. And I know I shouldn't say this, if it was just the two developers going through their stuff.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? This is the peeling back. Here's the lighting. Here's this. This is what's happening. None of this fake, obviously scripted questions that they already know what's they're going to say back to it. Just give us the facts. I would have loved that. That would have shortened the whole thing down to 20 minutes. I would have stayed interested the whole time. Love it. I would love every single game to have one of them.
I think you're bang on. I think that is how. Yeah, no, I completely agree. Couldn't agree more, actually.
Okay.
I hate to say it, but that's exactly right.
I'm kind of in shock, but after mocking this thing for being 40 minutes when it could have been 20, we'll wrap up this hour and a half podcast with the socials, shall we, Ben?
If you'd like to email us and tell us everything that we probably got wrong in our predictions for the Sony showcase, it's podcast at grumpygamers.co.uk, and if you want to tweet us, it's at grumpygamerspod.
But for this week, it's GG.
GG.